figured as we're getting closer to Shavuos, we should discuss some Talmud Torah related topics. So I don't know if we ever did this. The topic is prioritizing Talmud Torah, but prioritizing Talmud Torah can mean two different things. One thing prioritizing Talmud Torah can mean is within Talmud Torah, Mineu Bei, you need to prioritize what you're going to learn. Am I going to learn Chumash? Am I going to learn Mishnah? Am I going to learn Gemara? Am I going to learn Halacha? Am I going to learn Musar? And how do you prioritize your learning schedule? The other issue when it comes to prioritizing Talmud Torah is not what am I going to learn, but not what to choose within Talmud Torah, but how much I need to prioritize learning versus other things, versus, let's say, working, eating, sleeping, doing mitzvos. To what extent am I mevatel Talmud Torah in order to do other things, and to what extent do we say that Talmud Torah connected kulam, and you should focus entirely on your Torah and forget about all the other things. So those are the two basic topics within the broad title of prioritizing Talmud Torah. Is there a preference which one we should do first? Which of those two topics to do first? No preference? Alright, so we'll start at the beginning. No, you have a preference? What? Yeah, so we'll start at the beginning. Okay, good. So the Gemara Maseches Kiddushin, the Gemara tells us that there is the Chumash tells us, first of all, that there is a chiyuv that a father has to teach his son Torah. A father is obligated to teach his child Torah. And the Gemara asks, well, ad heichan, to what extent does a father have to teach his son Torah? So the Gemara says, a father teaches his son Torah like Zvulun ben Dan. But the Gemara clarifies later on that, what does it mean, Zvulun ben Dan? Zvulun ben Dan was someone whose grandfather taught him Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud, Halachos, Vagadas. His grandfather taught him Kala Torah Kula, essentially, sounds like, or parts of Kala Torah Kula. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? Every father is obligated to teach his child Mikra, Mishnah, Halacha, Agados, all that stuff, Talmud, Halachos, Vagadas. The Gemara says, but didn't we learn that a person is only supposed to teach his child Tanakh, and the rest let the kid fend for himself? So the Gemara says, Kizvulin ben Dan, velo Kizvulin ben Dan. The father's obligation to teach his child Torah is somewhat like Zvulun ben Dan, but not entirely like Zvulun ben Dan. What does that mean? Somewhat like Zvulun ben Dan, but not entirely like Zvulun ben Dan? Well, Zvulun ben Dan, and this is not a biblical figure, this Zvulun ben Dan. This is, right, it's not the Zvulun, it's not the Dan. They were siblings, they weren't, right? So this is, Kizvulin ben Dan, we should be like Zvulun ben Dan in that it was his grandfather who taught him. Meaning, the chiyuv of a father teaching his child Torah is not only a father to teach a child, it's even for a grandfather to teach a grandchild Torah. Not only is the chiyuv inclusive of a grandfather teaching his grandchild Torah, but the Gemara has some really nice things to say about a grandchild who learns Torah from a grandfather and about a grandfather who teaches Torah to a grandchild. The Gemara says that anyone who's malamed as ben beno Torah, so it's mala al kasav. I'm sorry, anyone who's melamed b'no Torah, first of all, so anyone who teaches his son Torah, it's ki melamdo b'no, l'b'no, u'ben-b'no, u'ben-b'no atzov kaladoros. That when you teach your son Torah, it's as if you're teaching your grandson, your great-grandson, and everybody else atzov kaladoros. Why? Why doesn't the Gemara... The Gemara is obviously trying to say it's really great to teach your child Torah. Right? So why doesn't the Gemara just say, it's really great to teach your child Torah? Why does the Gemara have to say, it's as if you taught your grandson and your great-grandson? What's the Gemara trying to tell us when in phrasing it in that way? What's the Gemara trying to tell us by saying it's as if you taught your grandson, your great-grandson? So it seems that the Gemara is clearly trying to say that when you teach your son Torah, it's not just that you're doing a mitzvah like you're not talula, you're doing a mitzvah like you're ochel matzah. There's a mesorah that's been going on in Klal Yisrael from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, from the days of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, really, where we have to transmit to the next generation that which we learned from the previous generation. When you take lulav, you did a mitzvah of lulav. When you eat matzah, you did a mitzvah of matzah. When you're melamed b'no Torah, it's not just that you did a mitzvah being melamed b'no Torah. You are continuing a mesorah that has thousands of years of history behind it. It's a continuation. If I don't take lulav this year, lulav will still exist, and lulav will still continue. And it doesn't break any chains. I just was mevatel mitzvah. But if I don't teach my son Torah, so that's a generation that gets cut off from Talmud Torah, from the previous generation. And the way Torah is transmitted, although it can be transmitted partially through books, primarily it's not transmitted through books. Primarily it's transmitted from Rebbe to a Talmud. Any Talmud Chacham that you meet that doesn't have a Rebbe, that doesn't have someone from whom they learned Torah is missing something critical in the development of their Torah learning. It's critical to have a Rebbe or a father who taught the child Torah. The ideal Rebbe is the father, if that's possible, if the father's able to teach the child Torah. So certainly it's wonderful for a father to teach the son Torah. It's kilu melamdo beno. What about a ben beno, etc.? What about a grandfather? So the Gemara says that when a grandfather teaches kala melamid is ben beno Torah, mala lo vakasuv kiilu kibla mehar sinai. Then it's as if you're mekabel mehar sinai. It's a very interesting expression. How would you translate that? Kala melamid is ben beno Torah. No, translate. Kala melamid is ben beno Torah. Anyone who teaches grandson Torah, mala alav hakasuv ki ilu kibla mehar sinai. Good. The pasuk considers it as if he received it from Har Sinai. Who received it from Har Sinai?
The son.
So the pashup shot should be the son, right? Or the grandson in this case, right? It should be the grandson, because the grandson's getting it from the grandfather. That's like he got it from Sinai. But who's the subject of the sentence? Kalam Alamed is really, it's about the grandfather. Kalam Alamed is ben beno Torah. When the grandfather teaches his grandson Torah, it's ki'ilu kibla me'ar Sinai. It's as if he received it from Har Sinai. As if who received it from Har Sinai? It sounds like it's something about the grandfather. It's if the grandfather received it. What does that have to do with the grandfather? Now, with the grandson, I understand very well why it's ki'ilu kibla me'ar Sinai. My grandfather will always makes jokes about how old he is, but he's not that old that he was at Har Sinai. I mean, that he was at Har Sinai any more than I was at Har Sinai. So why is it ki'ilu kibla me'ar Sinai? Why, when I learn with my grandfather, so zayin gezunt, he should live and may have esrim and ensam, but why is that ki'ilu kibla me'ar Sinai when I learn with my grandfather? And what does that have to do with kibla me'ar Sinai? But again, the point is, along the lines of what we were saying before, there is this concept of mesora. And what we are learning when we learn Torah is not just Torah that we're learning from a teacher. We're learning Torah from a teacher who learned from a teacher who learned from a teacher who learned from a teacher all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. When you get to skip one of the intermediate steps, and you get to skip over a generation, you go straight to the grandparent generation, well then you're learning from one step closer to Har Sinai. That's the famous Maisa they tell about Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. Everyone always tells over this Maisa. I have mixed feelings about the Maisa, but everyone tells over the Maisa. Rabbi Yaakov was on the plane, and someone came over to him and said, "I can't believe how your grandchildren are always running over to you and seeing what you need and making sure you're comfortable." My grandchildren think I'm Ever Batel. The person didn't say Ever Batel, is a non-Jew. He said, "My grandchildren think I'm yesterday's news. I can't relate to them. I don't know anything. They don't respect me at all. Why do your grandchildren say Rabbi Yaakov?" Said, because your grandchildren, the way you always taught them was that you came from monkeys and you're one step closer to a monkey. You believe in evolution, so you're one step closer. So why should they're more advanced in their mind? Whether you evolution, not evolution, they believe that we're always advancing, that humanity is always advancing, and therefore they're more advanced. But I believe that our system of belief is that there's a concept called Yiridas HaDoros, that each generation is one generation further away from Kabbalah HaTorah, one generation further away from the generation that saw Kabbalah HaTorah. Right? People will say, "I met a Jew." I can say, "I met a Jew who met the Chafetz Chaim." That's something, to meet a Jew who met the Chafetz Chaim. And the Chafetz Chaim met, just to go back those generations, every step closer back is a greater maila. So that's why they're showing me this great kavod. We do have the kavod for the older generations, or to put it in more secular terms, I often like to point out the great quote from Ronald Reagan when Reagan was at a campaign stop at a college campus, and one of the students, and he was the oldest presidential candidate, I believe, ever at that point. I don't know if McCain was older when he ran, but he was the oldest presidential candidate. And they said, you grew up without television, without air travel, without fax machines, without how could you possibly relate to our generation when we have, without a personal computer? How could you relate to our generation? So President Reagan, without batting an eye, said, "You're right, my generation grew up without any of those things, because we invented all of them." Meaning sometimes the fact that the older generation doesn't seem to have everything that we had, that's because they gave us all of that stuff. So we have to have greater respect for the older generations. So certainly, and certainly if we view the world through the prism of Mesorah, we certainly connect to that Mesorah as if it's a very great thing that connects us back to our Sinai. So that's the idea of being Melamed Ben Beno Torah. Now, why would it be for the grandfather that it's Ki'ilu Kibla Me'ar Sinai, that it's as if he got it from our Sinai? I'm not sure. I'm not sure if there's anything to read into that line, that for the one who's giving the Torah, it's as if he was Mekabla from our Sinai. It could be that when we got the Torah from our Sinai, the point was not just to get the Torah so that we will be fulfilled in our own lives, that we now know Torah. The point was that we got the Torah from our Sinai with the responsibility to transmit that Torah. So we're not fully Mekabla until we transmit it to the next generation. Meaning, what we got without transmitting, when we're lomade but not almanas lelamed, so we're not really doing limana Torah the way it was supposed to be done. We're only fully mekabel the Torah once we fulfill our achrayus to pass on that Torah and to transmit that Torah to the next generation. But none of this has anything to do with our topic, really. The Gemara goes on to say, at the end of this Gemara, the Gemara says, you know, the pasuk says v'shinantam levanecha. Pasuk says you should teach your children Torah. So the Gemara is a very unusual drasha. Al tikri vishinantam ela vishilashtem. Don't read it as vishinantam, rather you should read it as vishilashtem. So what does that mean? How does that drasha work? That we're allowed to take a word in the Torah and say, pretend that word's not there, and pretend a different word is there, and think about how profound the word that we just put there is. What do you mean? That word's not there. It doesn't say vishilashtem in the Torah. I don't think it's not Dash. I don't think so. I assume this is that there is a level of Torah Shebal Peh over here. That this is not the Gemara just saying, that we're allowed, that this is one of the Yidgul Mishat Torah Shebal Peh. It's like Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai kind of Halacha. That we have a tradition that there's it's like almost like a Kriya Niksiv. Like we have a tradition that Vishilashta means something also. So what is Kriyan Ksiv? How does Kriyan Ksiv work, for example? So Kriyan Ksiv is that we have multiple versions. We have the version of how it's supposed to be read and how it's supposed to be written, and then the version of how it's supposed to be read. And both of them have meaning. We're supposed to darshan it on both levels. So for example, Vishinantam we also darshan. Vishinantam should say Divrei Torah mechudadim beficha, we darshan. That it means that the Divrei Torah should be very sharp and fluent in our mouths, that we should be quick and easy in the way that we learn Torah. But we should also darshan the Kri, so to speak. It's not a real Kri because we do read it Vishinantam, but it's that kind of drasha that with Torah Shebal Peh we have some sort of indication that it's supposed to be Vishilashtam. What does Vishilashtam mean? So three. Vishilashtam means do it in thirds. So therefore, La'olam Yishalish Adam Shnosav. A person should divide up his years into three. Shlish b'mikra, shlish b'mishnah, shlish b'talmud. One third of his years in Mikra, one third of his years in Mishnah, one third of his years in Talmud. So anyone who's going to plan to live for 120 years should try to spend 40 years in Mikra, 40 years in Mishnah, 40 years in Talmud. So at this point in my life, I'm still 37 years old. Just turned 37 years old, so I'm my Hebrew birthday wasn't even yet, so I'm almost 37 years old, so I should never have cracked open a Mishnah or a Talmud yet, right? Because I should spend one third of my years in Mikra, so I should be putting the finishing touches on my expertise in Mikra, and then the next 4 years should be Mishnah, the next 4 years should be Talmud. So the Gemara says, well, first of all, that's against the Mishnah. To say something like that's against the Mishnah, what Mishnah is it against? The Mishnah Pirkei Avos, right? The Mishnah says, Ben Chamesh LeMikra, Ben Eser LeMishnah, Ben Chamesh Esrei LeTalmud. 5-year-old learns Mikra, 10-year-old learns Mishnah, 15-year-old learns Talmud. So it sounds like we're not being Mishali Shnosav. You hope to live to more than 15 or 20 years old. So we're not really being Mishali Shnosav. We're even Mishali the childhood, it sounds like, in Mikra, Mishnah, and Talmud. So maybe they're saying, no, after 18, when you're ready, after 15 rather, when you're ready learning Gemara, then you should cheshbin, let's say you spend 5 years learning exclusively Gemara, like you spent 5 years learning Mikra, 5 years learning Mishnah. So at the age of 20, so cheshbin, the next 100 years of your life, one third of that should be Mikra, one third of that should be Mishnah, one third of that should be Talmud. Is that what the Gemara is saying? Or is the Gemara just arguing on the Mishnah? It's a very strange Havamina. The Gemara is going against the Mishnah. By the way, that Mishnah, Shechter often points out, it's a mistake that we learn Gemara too early. Until a person is 15 years old, The nuances of Gemara are very, very hard. It's a much higher order of thinking to learn Gemara than it is to learn Mishnayos and to learn Mikra. And it's often a brachah levatala to try to teach a 12-year-old Gemara. The kid doesn't know what's going on. He has no idea what's going on. So the Rav Shachter, when Rav Shachter said this, he said it in a very Rav Shachter kind of way. He said, a 15-year-old can't understand Gemara. He said, I went to the Rav Shir only when I was 16. If I would have gone to Rav Salvation Shir when I was 14, I probably wouldn't have understood it. Rav Salvation Shir was the top smicha level Shir in, you know, when he was 16, he was a junior in high school. So, okay, but each of us on our own level. Now, does this mean that all of our schools are getting it wrong when in 5th and 6th grade they start teaching the kids Gemara? So one could argue that all the schools are getting it wrong. Or you could argue that they're not necessarily getting it wrong, but if a person was 15 years old and he opened up a Gemara for the first time, what would happen? He certainly would not be learning Gemara. First, he would have to learn what a Tana is, and what an Amora is, what a Brisa is. He would have to learn what the words my and all the common words in that you have in the Gemara, and Kamash Malan and Salkadai Dachamina, and he would have to learn all the basic. The basics of Gemara. If you open up the Gemara first when you're 15, you're way behind. It's not like you're going to start learning Gemara. So what we do in our schools is not necessarily wrong, as long as we do it the right way, as long as we focus, starting from whenever it is we want to start teaching the skills, but we have to be focused on skills, not on lumdas, not on analysis, because they're not getting it anyway. They're not even getting the Shakla Vitaria really so much. But to just focus on skills, focus on what the words mean, what a kasha looks like, what a teretz looks like, and that all of that is happening in the Gemara, even if they don't get exactly how this raya, based on the diuk from the Braisa, is a raya on Yair Shalomidas. You know, the fifth graders, they're all like, Yesh Lomi, they have no idea. It's a hard sugi in Shas. Like, of course they have no idea what's going on when they're learning it. And that's fine. That's fine that they have no idea what's going on. As long as they know how to translate the word Mai, and they know how to translate the word, Kamash Milan, and they know how to, that the point is just to teach a basic comfort level with the reading. So that's really the mark of a very good upper elementary school, junior high school Rebbe versus a junior high school Rebbe who just doesn't get it. Some junior high school Rebbe will be focused entirely on reading. That the kids should not read. The kids should just, and then the kids, do they understand a lot? Do they not understand a lot? It's irrelevant. It's irrelevant because they're not going to get it anyway. Their minds aren't ready for it. Others want to be as. Rabbi Asher Stern once referred to, others want to be the Rosh Yeshiva of the 7th grade. The Rosh Yeshiva of the 7th grade is the one who, he's got to say his lumdas, he has to say his, this is his soapbox, where he's going to say his shir, and this is going to be his, that doesn't serve the children very well. So we certainly listen to the Mishnah, we should listen to the Mishnah, that the emphasis on Talmud and the really understanding Talmud cannot be expected before the age of 15. Obviously, from Chorfe, some people are a little sharper, some people take a little longer, so some people take a little, 14, 16, whatever, but roughly around the age of 15. But this Gemara is telling us something else. This Gemara is talking, it sounds like it's talking about an adult. That an adult, already in his adult life, Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish B'Mishnah, Shlish B'Talmud. So says Gemara, that's great that you're going to decide as an adult that you have 90 years left on this, say you're 30 years old, you decide you have 90 years left on this earth, so what are you going to do? You spend 30 years in each. So says Gemara, but mi yad kamechai, who are you to decide how much time you have left on this earth? Yesterday I was driving, I had to film something for the Achiezer dinner for the video, so I had to go to that side of Peninsula Boulevard, and I was by Howard Avenue, and the light turned green, there was a car in front of me. The car in front of me went through, and I went through, and someone came zipping down Peninsula Boulevard at 80 miles an hour, had a red light, didn't realize that they had a red light. And they missed me literally by inches. So that could have been the end of me yesterday. I planned on living to 120 years old, but, another couple of inches, and I wouldn't have made it to, So you don't know. In an instant, in the blink of an eye, things can happen like that. We have no idea how long we're going to live. It's a very important mussar. We don't know how long we're here for. We got to take advantage. We have no idea how long we're here for. So we get big plans. I'm going to learn Mikra for the next 40 years, and don't worry, I'll get to Mishnah afterwards. I'll get to Talmud afterwards. We don't know. So it says, we're right, we don't know. And therefore, it's irresponsible to divide it up based on years. We have to divide it up based on days. Great. So we divided up based on days. What does that mean? Divided up based on days. This is Machlokas, Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says what it means divided up based on days is that Yimei Shavua, the days of the week. Now, the Gemara skipped a step. I would have said, okay, it's not years, so divided up based on months. You know, spend a few months focused in Mikra, a few months where you're totally immersed in Mishnah. No, the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says days. So Rashi says you divide up the days of the week. So let's say you have 7 days of the week, doesn't divide nicely into three, but you could spend 1 day in Chazara. So you could have the other 6 days divided nicely into three. So 2 days of Mikra, 2 days of Mishnah, 2 days of Talmud. That's what you should do. Tosa says, Miyad Kamechai. What if you die on Wednesday? It's not going to be even. So Tosa says, no, Yomi doesn't mean you divide up 1 day from the next. It means you divide up within each day. Take each day and divide up. Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud, within each day. You should do a little bit of each day. And Tosa says, and if you don't believe me that this is what we're supposed to do, it's Beferish in your Siddur that this is what you're supposed to do. How's it Beferish in your Siddur? Because when they put together the Siddur, they tried to think of how to take care of all of our obligations as best as possible in a standard text. So what do we say right before Pesukei Dezimra, after Brachos in the morning? We say Karbanos, right? And then Karbanos are Pesukim. It's all Pesukim. We're just reading the Parshios of the Karbanos. So that's Mikra. Well, of all Mikra, why would we pick Karbanos? Why not pick Bereish Sparam Kim? Hey, you can say the Akedah, it's also Mikra, but, you know, why Dafka Karbanos? What? Yeah, you get the most bang for your buck, exactly, because the Gemara says in Maseches Tainus and Maseches Megillah that when we read Karbanos, it's Ki'ilu Hikraftim Lefanei, which Baruch Hu says it's as if we're being Makar of Karbanos. So we read Karbanos, we're not only doing Mikra, we're also getting the mitzvah of bringing the Karbanos. So great, if we can accomplish both things, that's great. And then after that, we do Mishnah. What Mishnah do we do? Ezu Mekoman, Shel Zvachim. The fifth parak of Maseches Zvachim. Of all places to pick Mishnayos from, the fifth parak of Maseches Zvachim, why would you pick the fifth parak of Maseches Zvachim? I would have picked the first parak of Maseches Brachos. Or I don't know, the last parak of Maseches Nida. I don't know, something like that. Why dafka the fifth parak of Maseches Zvachim? Because it's the only parak in Shas that doesn't have any machlokas. There's no machlokas tonight. It's all straightforward. So whatever halachas it says, those are the halachas. Good? And then we get to Talmud. What's the Talmud that we do? Rabbi Shmuel, Mishloshim Mishnatar and Reshben, and it goes through all the Yugim Mishnatar and Reshben. Now you look in the article Siddur on the top of the of Rabbi Shmuel Omer, it says, Braisa de Rabbi Yishmael. This is known as the Braisa of Rabbi Yishmael. Well, wait a second. That's supposed to be our Talmud. How is that Braisa de Rabbi Yishmael? How is the Braisa de Rabbi Yishmael our fulfillment of Talmud? So the Pashtus is that it's our fulfillment of Talmud because it tells us how to do Talmud. Talmud is defined as using all these Midas Shatan Reshba and Kal Chomer and Zer Shabbat bin Nav and use. So it teaches us how to do Talmud. So that's the Shlush Mikra, Shlush Mishnah, Shlush Mishnah. Talmud tells us we have in the Siddur every day. What are Rashi and Tosfos arguing about? Did Rashi not realize that people sometimes die on Wednesday or Monday or whatever, you know? Early in the week? Did Rashi think people only die on Shabbos after they split up their time perfectly evenly?
Why they even arguing in the first place of dividing? Like, what's the purpose of dividing?
So what this probably relates to is what's the purpose of this idea of Shlish Merkel, Shlish Mishnah, Shlish Talmud? If I'm a very frum Jew and I want to learn Torah and I really love learning Pirkei Avos, what is wrong with me sitting all day and all night my entire life studying Pirkei Avos? You know, you'd call me, you'd probably call me a tzaddik if I did that, right? What's wrong with that? Sit there just, you know, darshaning Pirkei Avos and learning through and getting the Musar and shuckling a lot. And, what's wrong? Am I not being... Is there any second that I'm not doing Talmud Torah? I'm doing Talmud Torah every second that I'm learning Pirkei Avos. So why can't I learn Pirkei Avos all day and all night? What's the goal of being Mishale, Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish B'Mishnah, Shlish B'Talmud? What are we trying to accomplish? So one possibility is, we have a chiv to learn Kol HaTorah Kula, so we need to make sure we learn Kol HaTorah Kula. Meaning, there's a curriculum that has to get done. it's like, you know, when you're teaching a Regents course, you got to cover the material because the kids have to take the Regents. The kids are going to have to take the exam. So it could be that chapter one of the biology book is so inspiring and you could learn it with so much profundity and so much depth, and it's really so wonderful and all the kids will be inspired, but they're going to fail their Regents. Says Rabbi Willig, like to say, we have the big bechina, lachamei of Esrim Shana, and the big bechina is going to cover more than just the first three dapim of every mesechta. The big bechina is going to cover everything. It's going to cover kol haTorah kula. So I'm going to sit there, I'm going to focus on, you know, on the first three dapim of every mesechta, and that's going to be my chiyus in learning. I'm going to get such a geshmak out of it, and I'm going to argue with my chavrusa for hours on end. So when the Rashba means im, does he mean if, but might be, if, but might not be, if, but, and I can sit there arguing about that for days on end, and it'll be so geschmack for me. But I'm going to fail the bechina, lachamei of Esrim. So we need to have a curriculum of Kol haTorah Kula. What's the smartest way to set up a curriculum for Kol haTorah Kula? Make sure you get Mikra, you get Mishnah, and you get Talmud. Who holds that way, Rashi or Tosfos? Or both? So then that's not what they're arguing about. I mean, the question I first posed is, what are they arguing about?
The question is not how to do that.
What?
The question that
we have. Oh, how to maximize that. So how do we best accomplish that? So Rashi would say the way to best accomplish that is by, don't take your day and chop it up into little pieces, because you know what's going to happen then? Let's say you have an hour to learn. So you learn 20 minutes of Gemara, 20 minutes of Mishnah, and 20 minutes of Chumash, or the other Chumash, Mishnah, and Talmud. You're never going to get into the sugya. You know, to really get into a sugya, you need to really put time into it. And you can't stop and then start up again a day later. You're rebuilding every time, and you're never going to really get anywhere. So you need to take a couple of days. You'll learn a sugya properly. Take another couple of days. You learn Mishnayos properly. Take another couple of days, and you learn Mikra properly. But you can't do it. You can't learn these things properly. If it's about learning, if it's about accomplishing and learning, it's about knowing things. You're not going to know anything if you chop everything up into teeny bits of time. And Tosos will say? What's Tosos' response to that? Yeah, you will be able to accomplish by chopping up things into teeny bits of time. Why would Tosos say to split up the day? And remember, you don't have all day. You still have to work. You still have to do other things during your day. So why would I split up my day? And not only that, think about this. Tosos says, you know why Rav Avram go and put in the Siddur that we should have Karbanos followed by Ezra Mekoman followed by Rabbi Shmuel Omer to fulfill Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish B'Mishnah, Shlish B'Talmud? If that's how I fulfill my Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish B'Mishnah, Shlish B'Talmud, you know what I'm going to know? Lachar Me'ev Esrim Shana? I'll know by heart the Pesukim of the Karbanos. I'll know one perek of all of Mishnayos. One perek I'll know by heart. And I'll know by heart what the 13 meters Shatar and Drash has been are, having never applied a single one of them. Is that really the best curriculum? If what I'm trying to accomplish is to know Kol haTorah Kula, I want to pass the big Bechina up in Shemayim. Is that the best curriculum to pass the Bechina up in Shemayim? So you get the impression from Tosfos that it's not about the Shlish Mikra, Shlish Mishnah, Shlish B'Talmud is not about Yediyas HaTorah. Not that there isn't a Chiv of Yediyas HaTorah. There is a Chiv of Yediyas HaTorah. There is a Chiv to know Kol haTorah Kula. But that's got nothing to do with Shlish Mikra, Shlish Mishnah, Shlish B'Talmud. You know what that probably has a lot to do with? Ben Chamesh LeMikra, Ben Esther LeMishnah, Ben Chamesh Esther LeTalmud. That's probably about laying the groundwork for Yediyas HaTorah, to really know Torah very well. So how do you know Torah very well? Develop from a young age basic knowledge of Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud, and keep on working on it as time goes on. But to make sure that each day I get a little of this, a little of that, a little of that, it doesn't sound like it's a din in curriculum. Not only that, Tosfos goes a step further and Tosfos says, well, what do we do nowadays? Nowadays, all the yeshivas just learn Gemara all day. There's a movement in the other direction now, right? That people are focusing more on Tanakh and Halacha and other things. Like we mentioned, Rav Shechter always says when we talk about women learning Gemara, he says, it's fine, women want to learn Gemara, it's fine, but I would think that the movement should be in the other direction, that men should want to learn all the things that the women learn. Men should want to learn Tanakh, men should want to learn Halacha, men should want to, right? We're missing out on so much. Men should want to learn Ashkafa, they should have basic knowledge of Jewish Ashkafa. But be that as it may, where was I? What was I about to say? totally lost my train of thought in the women's learning thing. Tos says, what do we do nowadays in yeshivas? We learn Gemara all day. We learn Gemara all day. What happened to our Shlish Mikra, Shlish Mishra, Shlish Talmud? So Tos says, no. When the Gemara said you learn Gemara, the Gemara in Kiddushin didn't mean you open up a Maseches Kiddushin. You know how I know? Because the Gemara is in Maseches Kiddushin, so they couldn't open up, it's not like one of those Russian dolls, you know? Like they couldn't open up a Kiddushin within the Kiddushin. They didn't have a Maseches Kiddushin. It was, they were it. So what did it mean when they said to learn Talmud? They meant to apply the Yidgul Mir Shatar Dreshben. They meant those segments of the Gemara that actually use the Yidgul Mir Shatar Dreshben to derive halachos, you know, the Avayos, the Abaye V'Rava section of the Gemara. But you know what else it has in Gemara? It has a lot of Mishnayos in Gemara. It has a lot of Psukim quoted all over the Gemara. Talmud Bavli is not just Talmud. It's primarily Talmud. But it's this masterful work that includes Talmud and Mikra and Mishnah. So says Tosfos B'Shem Rabbeinu Tam, no problem. We are Mekayim Mikra, Mishnah, and Talmud by doing Talmud Bavli. All you need to do is learn Talmud Bavli. Now, if your goal in Mikra, Mishnah, and Talmud is to master all of it, to know all of Tanakh, to know all of Mishnayos, and to know all of Gemara, have you done that by learning Talmud Bavli? Probably not. The fact that you see a pasuk quoted here, a pasuk quoted there, a half a pasuk quoted here, doesn't really give you a good sense of what the Mikra is really all about. It may give you a sense of what drashos Chazal made from a variety of different pasukim, but a mastery of Tanakh? Probably not so much. Mishnayos also. The Gemara quotes many, many Mishnayos. And the Gemara also doesn't quote many, many Mishnayos. So it's only part of a curriculum. If you're going to learn Talmud Bavli, so yeah, you will get a daily dose of Mikra, you'll get a daily dose of Mishnah, and you'll certainly get a daily dose of Talmud. But you will not get a mastery of Mikra or Mishnah by learning Talmud Bavli. So it could be, one could suggest, that the Nukudas HaMachlokas between Rashi and Tosfos is not whether you have to be Choshesh, a person is going to die on a Tuesday. They obviously both realize people die at all different times. It's not whether you have to make sure that the time gets perfectly divided evenly, because even according to Tosfos, you could die at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you know. The Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos might be what the goal of Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish B'Mishnah, Shlish B'Talmud is. The Rashi may understand that the goal of Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish B'Mishnah, Shlish B'Talmud is mastery of Torah. You need to have a plan in Talmud Torah. You need to set up a curriculum where you know Kol HaTorah Kula. So that plan could be Shnayim Mikra and Daf Yomi and a Mishnah Yom, some sort of plan for Kol HaTorah Kula. Like you would anything else. Like when you study for, when a doctor studies for his boards, when a lawyer studies for his, what do they call the bar exam. So if he knows, I have X amount of months to study, so he plans, I'm going to study these chapters, this day, that chapter, the next day, until you know it. A lot of times we associate Talmud Torah with frumkeit, which is nice, it's good, it feels very frum, it is very spiritual, but at the same time, sometimes we shortchange it because of that. Because we think, oh, as long as I'm learning, it's good. But it is a mitzvah of Talmud Torah as long as we're learning. But it's more than that. Our obligation in Talmud Torah is an obligation in Yediyas HaTorah also. And when it comes to studying for an exam, we'll make sure we know it. When it comes to learning a Seder, we'll make sure we were, best case scenario, we'll make sure we were learning a Seder. But there's no making sure we know it. There's no making sure that it's Shinatam, that it's Mechudad and Beficha. That's how Rashi understands it. Make sure you know it. Make sure you get through Kol HaTorah Kula. So what's Tosfos say? That it's not about making sure you know it. So what is it about? Shlish Mikra, Shlish Mishnah, Shlish B'Talmud. We accomplish it with Talmud Bavli. We accomplish it with Rav Amram Gon's Takana to say Ezem come in the same chapter of Mishnayos, the same Psukim in Torah, and the same paragraph of Talmud every single day. How does that accomplish our goal? What is the goal? What's the point of Shlish Mikra, Shlish Mishnah, Shlish B'Talmud?
Maybe it has to do with the actual Joshua, the original Joshua, Shinanta, in terms of Mechudad B'Ficha, meaning how do you do that? I mean, it's like an idea, a concept, like it's a nice thing. I mean, it's obligation, like, it's a nice thing. How do you do that? You every single day have to, like, even if it's not in terms of the mastery, the esoteric, just to mention or to discuss all of those three things in one given day. Just to have it always, constantly, every single day.
Why?
No, maybe it's just like, maybe there's no, like, as like a necessity just to have those things. I mean, it may be built off the drasha of Shinanta, meaning just to always have it on your mind for the reason of having Torah on your, you know, on your lips at all times. But not necessarily for your Diaz Torah, just but always to have it, meaning like accessible. It's always there.
I want to say something similar, but it's just maybe with a little bit of a different nuance. And that is that maybe according to the Balei Tosfos, the idea of Shlish Mikra, Shlish Mishnah, Shlish B'Talmud is nothing to do with the idea of the Torah. What it has to do with is that if a person learns Torah, and Torah is this beautiful tapestry of so many different elements and so many different areas of knowledge and so many different levels and so much depth and so much profundity, that if a person were to take a day or 2 days or a week or any block of time, any significant block of time, and only focus on one element and cut out the rest, it's not just that he's ignoring the other parts of Torah that day. He's not really getting this element of Torah either. Because part of the profundity of Torah, part of the appreciation of the profundity of Torah is to realize that it's all connected. And to realize that the Mikra connects to the Mishnah and connects to the Talmud. And that it's all one big tapestry. It's all one big area of knowledge. So yeah, the best way to master everything is probably to spend days at a time on a sugya in Talmud. But make sure during those days you still recall that there's something called Mikra and that there's something called Mishnah. Because if you're focused on Talmud and you don't remember that there's something called Mikra, something called Mishnah, you don't remind yourself that this area of study is not alone, it's part of something much bigger, well then your understanding of Talmud is flawed. Take it with Mikra. Mikra is a very easy example. There are Bible scholars that will learn Mikra. And they really, really know it. They really know every word in the Chumash. They know Mikra so well. But they lose sight of the primacy and the importance of Torah Shebaal Peh, of the Mishnah and the Talmud, and how the Mishnah and the Talmud relates to the Mikra. And therefore, when they're learning Mikra, their Mikra is not really Mikra. Because the Mikra has to be seen through the lens of Torah Shebaal Peh. It has to be seen with an appreciation of the fact that there is a Torah Shebaal Peh. So we have a balancing act over here, says Tosfos. We have to balance the fact that we need to accomplish in learning and have a Yediyas HaTorah, which can only be done by dedicating large chunks of time to each area of study. But at the same time, you don't want to devote such large chunks of time to an area of study that you forget the other areas of study. That you forget that the other areas of study impact this area of study. That they're all intertwined with each other. So Tosfos says, here's what you do. The whole day learn Talmud. Learn Talmud all day. But learn Talmud in such a way where there's a little bit of Mikra in there, where there's a little bit of Mishnah in there. I mean, just make sure you learn it in such a way where Mikra and Mishnah isn't completely ignored. Don't only do the Havayos Dabayi Rava. Learn Talmud Bavli, because Talmud Bavli has Mishnayos and has some Pesukim also. Learn what Rav Amram Gon was masaking in the Siddur. Yeah, it's the same thing every day, because you're not learning that to learn it. You're not learning that so you could know it. You're learning that so that you can maintain the broad perspective and appreciation of just how broad Torah is. So he may agree with Rashi. But yeah, learn 2 days a week Mikra, 2 days a week Mishnah. But make sure that each and every day you do like Rav Amram Gon also. Make sure that each and every day, because everyone asks the kasha on the Balei Tosfos. It says Shlish Mikra, Shlish Mishnah, Shlish B'Talmud. So Rabbi Natan says, yeah, that's why we do Talmud Bavli, it solves everything. That doesn't solve anything. If you take it literally, Shlish Mikra, Shlish Mishnah, Shlish B'Talmud, you haven't accomplished that with Talmud Bavli, because Talmud Bavli is like 80% Talmud and 10% Mishnah and 10% Mikra. 15% Mishnah, 5% Mikra. Those numbers aren't exact, obviously, but It's not shlish, shlish, shlish. But maybe Yishali Shad Mishnosov means that you should realize that your learning is a mishulash learning. That when you're learning the Talmud, it should be mishulash with Mikra Mishnah. When you're learning Mishnah, you realize it's Meshulash with Mikra and Talmud. You're learning Mikra, you realize it's Meshulash with Mishnah and Talmud. That's the Yishalish. So maybe that's the Nekudas HaMachlokas. This Chakira may have ramifications, may have other nafkaminas in terms of what the goal is of the Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish B'Mishnah, Shlish B'Talmud. One is, like we just said, whether the accomplishing Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish B'Mishnah, Shlish B'Talmud has to be within your daily learning, that the way you do your daily learning, your accomplishing and learning, should be in a way that Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish B'Mishnah, Shlish B'Talmud, or maybe it could be separate. Do Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish B'Mishnah, Shlish B'Talmud, and then do your daily learning, you know, then do your daily Seder. Like, spend an hour in the morning with, you know, being Mishalish, and then go about doing your daily Seder. So according to Tosfos, that's fine. As long as you have each day, you have your dose. You have your dose of Mishnah, your dose of Mikra, your dose of Talmud. But according to Rashi, L'chora, this is how you set up a curriculum. This is what you do. Alright, maybe we'll stop there, because I have a meeting right now. We'll stop there in Bezeshem tomorrow. Maybe we'll do a little more Talmud Torah related.